Holy Spirit of a living God, we thank you for being here. And thank you because you will make yourself manifest tonight. Don't have a doubt about that. Thank you. Father, we exalt Jesus here tonight. We exalt Jesus here tonight. And we ask that His Spirit will be at work in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name we worship. John chapter 7 in verse 37. If you're there, say amen. All right, we're going to read it together in verse 37. One, two, go. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Saying the last day, great day of the feast, Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me." Somebody say to him. Yes. So if I want to be filled with his Spirit, I have to go to him. Hallelujah. He is the one that fills me with the Spirit. If you come from the kind of background that I come from, we have a song we used to sing in those days. We used to call it Jesus Only, Jesus Ever. Jesus is our sanctifier. He's our baptizer. And we say he's our soon coming King. And so we know that whenever we're in need of power, we have to go back to Jesus. The aircraft that Pastor Isaiah talked about that landed at the airport, the aircraft was positioned in a place where the refueling tanker can have access to the aircraft. Am I making a point to somebody here? If you must be refilled and be filled, there's only one person we must go to. And that person is not other person than Jesus, the very Son of the living God. In fact, he stood and said, not only is it that if any man is thirsty, let him come to me. He said, if you are heavy laden, you're carrying burdens, you're carrying some yokes upon your life, Jesus said, come to me. So he is the one that is our burden bearer, is our heavy load sharer. Jesus Christ is our way maker. So if there's anything you need tonight, you can be rest assured that Jesus is the answer. He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He is a soon coming King. So he said here, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Now there's something I'd like you to realize. He has the power to fill you, but you must come to him. You must come with a desire. You must come with a passion. You must come with a quest. And he said, when you get to me, he said, you shall drink. And he said, he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But don't forget, there's something he said before. He said, rivers will flow out of you. He said, you drink. So that is to say, there is a point where you begin to drink. And then it gets to a point whereby what you have drank of begins to flow out of you. Am I making a point to somebody here? You begin to drink of him to the point whereby what you've drank of him begins to flow out of you. In Luke chapter 11, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like us to just take a look at scriptures there. We'll do some Bible, you know, here and there this evening. Luke chapter 11. Very powerful scriptures. If you hear me, say amen. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and then he said, you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone. How many? Hey, I didn't get you. How many? Everyone. And everyone means everyone. So he said, everyone who asks receives.
everyone who asks, does what, sir? Receives. If the brother on the other side asks, he will what, sir? He will receive. If a sister somewhere in the corner of the auditorium asks, she will what, sir? She will receive. Don't forget in the first scripture we read, it said, if any man thirst, if any man, let him come to me. And then now he's saying that if everyone asks, everyone can receive. Can someone say, I can receive too? Yes. If everyone asks, and I'd like you to know something. Jesus is not one of the men that we have in this world who make promises he can't keep. Whatever he promises you, he has the power and the ability to keep to his promise. Let's take a look at scripture very well. Luke chapter 11 verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. Nor can it be opened unto you, verse 10. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it will be opened unto him. Verse 11, this is the one I like. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Verse 12, or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a serpent? Like you to look at verse 13. If you then, ordinary man, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who think about it? I didn't get you. To those who do what? To those who ask. Wait, what should they ask for? What should they ask for? And what did he promise? If they ask, what did he promise? So that means tonight, if somebody who's not been filled with the Holy Spirit before, if the person asks tonight, what the scripture is saying here is that God guarantees that he's going to give. Am I correct? Okay. So what that also means is that someone who has been filled before, if the person asks tonight, that means that this word guarantees that there's going to be a given. Am I correct? Oh, okay, I like that. Just trying to show you some scriptures, amen? So that when you want to ask, you will ask with your faith, firmly rooted in the word of God. The Bible says sometimes we ask, we receive not, because we ask amiss. And the only way to properly ask and receive is to make sure you ask in accordance with the word of God. He said if your fathers know how to give good gifts to their children and all of that, of course, I know what the Bible is talking about here. My son will not even take it from you. If he asks you for bread and you give my son something, he wouldn't take that from you. And as a father who is responsible, I know what it means to give my son what is proper for my son. And here God is saying that if our earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to those of us who are children, how much more will your father give the Holy Spirit? Amen. The Holy Spirit. Wait, you need to understand something. Do we say what is the Holy Spirit or who is the Holy Spirit? So when the Father was saying, Dick and Ken, when the Father was saying, if you, as a father, you're a father to Isaac Divine, right? Whatever your son asks, you say, give to him. Whatever. But then he now switched over and said, when it comes to God, they say God is not interested in giving. Whatever is too small for God to give. You need to wake up. This is the Holy Ghost service, huh? God's trying to be soft on you, amen. Now listen, he said, your father give you whatever you ask. But then look at the switch from naturally, if you want to talk about God, you should now say, whatever you also ask God, God will give to you. But he said, God will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask. Hey, let's calm down. So is the Holy Spirit in the class of what our Father gives us? No. The Holy Spirit is a person. And what God is saying here is that if you ask the Father for a who, your Father God is willing to give you a who, not just a what. Now I'm going to say that one more time because I know religion sometimes make us not understand the word. I'm going to come down one more time. You see, every time we come to God, an average Christian comes to God to receive what? We ask God for what? And it's not wrong, because the God that you serve also made provision for what? He said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he said, that the Father will give to you. Am I correct? So there's a provision for you to ask the Father for what? Is that okay now? But then now here, Jesus Christ is saying that, listen, our Father is not just the one who gives us what. Your Father God gives you who? What that means is that God, when you ask for the Holy Ghost, God carries the Holy Ghost and gives you the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus told us what the Holy Ghost will do. He said, it's important that I go that the Holy Ghost may come. And he said that the Holy Ghost may abide with you. So why am I asking for the Holy Ghost? It says, when the Holy Ghost comes to me, watch this. He will teach me all things. So I begin to have access into revelations. I begin to know things that people don't teach me. Oh, Lord, have mercy here. Well, wait a minute. Let's come down to basics. If I want breakthroughs, what I need is an idea. Am I correct? Okay, now. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for the word thou shalt remember there is thou shalt zakah, the Lord thy God. Thou shalt first fruit, the Lord thy God. It's almost similar to what the Bible says in the book of Luke when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. Is that okay? So thou shalt first fruit, the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee wisdom, power. The word power there is the same word wisdom. Is that okay now? So what God gives you is wisdom to get wealth. He doesn't give you wealth. Oh, come on. Hey, are you in church now? Okay, so watch this. See, I'm not following outline tonight. I love teaching. Is that okay? And I don't want to be tied to outline. Hallelujah. Now watch this carefully. Can we allow the Holy Spirit to just teach us his word? Amen? Okay, now. Now watch this carefully. He said, thou shalt honor the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth. So what he does is that he gives us power to do what, sir? Gives us power to get wealth. Mm-hmm. All right. So what he does is that he gives me wisdom. He gives me ability to be able to navigate my path into the place where there is wealth. Because don't forget that the book of Isaiah tells us that the hidden riches are available, and then there are treasures in darkness. Come on. Okay. Are you okay here? All right. So there are hidden riches, and then there are treasures in dark places. So your monies are hidden in some dark places. Your wealth are hidden in some dark places. Now, I like the way somebody always puts it. He said, it is not hidden from you. It is hidden for you. But then how can you have access into what is hidden for you? That is why he said, I will give you the Holy Spirit and he shall guide you. Come on, are you here now? So when you are asking for the Holy Spirit, you are not just asking to speak in tongues. That's part of it. But you are asking for a standby. The word comforter there is the word parakletos. Is that okay? And the word parakletos has almost 22 meanings. So when Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter, he was saying, I'm going to send you a parakletos. And the word parakletos there has almost 22 minutes. What Jesus was saying, I'm going to send you someone that you'll have fellowship with. That's part of it. So you just worship with the Holy Spirit. That's good. Number two, I'm going to have you a standby, a teacher, a friend, a companion, a guide. Is that okay now? So the Holy Spirit has over 22 functions to carry out in our lives. The issue is that he is underutilized in our lives. Period. I am underutilizing him. You are underutilizing him. And yet we are praying for things that the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives will be able to carry out. Let me say this. The dummiest of all can prosper in life if he has the Holy Spirit. I'm going to make that statement one more time. The dummiest of all can prosper in life if you have the Holy Spirit. In fact, can I quickly say this now? You see, there are different levels of power in the world. There's intellectual power. Intellectual power belongs to those who have gone to university, read to their 10th degree and all of that. So they have intellectual power. Do you understand that now? Educational power. And you have military power. Like the United States has military power. Is that okay? And that's reserved for a few. Nuclear power. There are some nations that have nuclear power. It's reserved for a few. Is that okay now? There's financial power. It's reserved for a few. Some few individuals have it. There are all manner of powers. But you know the most amazing part is that when it comes to the Holy Ghost, that is where everybody can be equal. Oh, come on. You need to hear that one more time. Now, irrespective of your family background, In the Holy Spirit, you can match up with those who have gone ahead of you. Ladies and gentlemen, I heard about a man called Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know if you've heard about him. How many of you have heard about Smith Wigglesworth? A man who can't read the Bible. I'm sure you heard about that. Doesn't know how to read and doesn't know how to do anything. But the man raised the greatest number of dead bodies in his time. So much so that those who went to school, read the Bible, theologians couldn't raise one. But the man raised over 14 dead bodies. So much so that Smith Wigglesworth, at a point, he traveled and then went to preach somewhere. By the time he came back, he got to discover that his wife had an accident. Were they involved in an accident together with the wife? And then suddenly, I learned somebody's neck pulled out of the accident. And Smith Wigglesworth just turned aside and slapped the neck, and the neck was joined back. Somebody say power. The moment a medical doctor sees that one, the next day they'll be looking for his stitches and things to be able to join the neck together. But a man who has power just poof, slap. That was enough. And the neck came back together. Somebody say power. You're not talking like you really mean it. That's what you want. That's what you want. That's what you want. There are people that have what you call the power of oratory. Is that okay? When it comes to talking, they can talk and phew, my. Now listen, when you are going to compete to such kind of people, the danger is normally you just say, well, I'm not a match for that kind of person. If you are all going for an interview that requires that two of you talk, am I correct? You just know that you are not a match. Now, but can I say something to you here? Jesus makes us understand that the Holy Spirit of God can make you to become an equal. How do I know that? He said, when you are going for such kind of a thing whereby you know you're not equal to the task, he said, take you no thought of what you will say, for when you get there, the Spirit of your Father will tell you what to say. And that which comes from above can make you to be above. We're getting somewhere. I'd like to quickly say here, in life, everybody can prosper so long as you have the Holy Spirit, irrespective of what is a deficit in your background. Are you there with me now? Okay. So the first thing we need to realize here is, I said, I am the Lord thy God. I give thee the power to get wealth. I give you the power to get what? Wealth. The word power there, like I said, is the word wisdom, ideas, and all of that. And don't forget, talking about Jesus, the Bible said the spirit of wisdom rests upon him. Is that okay now? Talking about Jesus. Don't forget, Jesus never went to school. Oh, come on. Are you here, child of God? Our Jesus never went to school. But the Bible says that that man sat down with people who have gone ahead of him. And when he started talking, they couldn't find phantom the kind of wisdom that was coming from him. Now you see, I'm saying all of this so that I can help somebody knock out some of these excuses you are giving for not succeeding in life. Everybody and anybody can succeed. I'm succeeding in a field where I'm not schooled for. Is that okay? What I'm doing today is much of a communications thing. Is that okay? It's more of a field of those who do go to school to learn communication. But you see, there's not a single person that went to, I don't care to name of school you went to read communication. I respect the fact that you went to school, but that's not enough to threaten me. Do you understand that? Because see, that comes from above is above all. Is that okay? Deacon Kayode is involved in a business today that is totally different from what he studied in the university. Only the spirit of his father from above can make him succeed in a terrain where he's not schooled for. You are not understanding what I'm saying here. Your academic limitation is only a limitation within the walls of your university. It should not become a limitation in your life. How much more shall your father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I'm not going to give you what? I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit himself. And if you have the Holy Spirit, then you can have whatever it is that you need in life, because the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing it across to your path. All right, let's get down to some basics this evening. Somebody say Holy Spirit. We need to do some studies on the Holy Spirit this evening, and then we get to pray and talk to God about this experience. Four reasons why you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Four reasons why I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Not once, I need him every hour. I need him every time. I don't know about you. Are there human beings here who want to agree with me that we are living in depressing days? Come on. Good. Wait, let's be frank. I know you're born again, tongue talking. I know you feel the Holy Ghost. How many of us will agree with me that the greatest battle you're fighting now are not with demons, but depression? Anybody in the house? You know, that's why the Lord asks that I don't talk about anything during this period but that I focus on the answer to the present age we are in. The answer to the present situation we are all faced with is the Holy Spirit. Depression is all over the place. People are depressed because there's no job. You tune into CNN, it will shock you to know, sir, the person in charge of, was it Paulson? Or whatever, the person in charge of U.S. Treasury. I overheard him today talking. Hey, you know, he said, well, the economy will begin to stabilize in 2010. And he said, by 2011, there's a likelihood that it will pick up. And then he said, unemployment rate is still likely going to increase. I mean, it's not enough now. Ladies and gentlemen, as I speak with you right now, January, you had about 100 and something thousand job loss in America. February, you had about 200 and something thousand job loss. In February, March, you had about 200 and something thousand. It's all been in the figures of 200 and something. People losing their jobs every day. Husbands, fathers of homes, going around the streets with nothing to live on. And then we thought it was in America because we thought it would never come into Nigeria. And here we are in Nigeria too. The whole thing is going to catch up with this country too. Hey, let me say quickly here, child of God, if you are not hooked on to a higher source, I'm sorry, you may just go the way of the world, but this is not your portion. Hey, we can move into a Goshen experience in these days. You didn't get what I just said right now? We can go into a Goshen experience. The Bible says there was darkness all over Egypt. But the Bible says in Goshen there was light. There was light in Goshen. There was lack in Egypt. There was surplus in Goshen. People were dying in Egypt, but people were alive in Goshen. Child of God, you and I don't need to travel to Egypt to look for Goshen. We can be in our Goshen's experience here. Hey, come on. We can be in a no depressed land. Come on. Come on. We can live a life that is depression free. We can. And the way out is to make sure we hook up to the Holy Spirit. What are the four benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me quickly share them with you. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. I don't know about you, but I've come a long way to know when I start talking about the Holy Spirit, to just know He's there. And that's not by faith. I just know it. The presence of the Lord is here. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. For you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Wait a minute. I like this version. The King James Version, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Sometimes we don't get to understand it from King James. But look at what he said here. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So, wait a minute. Look up here, everybody. Don't miss this now. So, power is different from baptism. You can be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but then you still have to go in for power. You know what I just said now? Because I said, you shall be filled with power, or you shall receive power after. So, there are two different experiences, but are linked. The problem is that most of us stop at the baptism. Most of us stop at being filled with the Holy Spirit. But he said, after you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, move on to say, Lord, now I want the manifestation of the power. Hey, I know somebody just got what the problem has been for a long time. I didn't know too, man of God, because what they taught us all, that you just got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then Lord, I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we pray. And then we got filled with the Holy Ghost and we began to speak with tongues. And that's all. And then I got to discover something, and I'm going to show you that right now. Luke chapter 4, very quickly. Oh, thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 4. Somebody say power. My God. You know, Kathleen Kuma was filled with the Holy Spirit for a long time until she encountered the power of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He is not just coming to stay in your life and just be there in your life and just you pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit wants to make it possible for you to move to the next dimension of the experience you have with Him, which is to release power into your life. Look at what happened to Jesus. And I'd like you to follow the story carefully. Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Are you there? Okay, now let's look at the Bible carefully. Luke 4:1. And we already want to go. And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Stop there for a moment. Two things happened that has to do with the Spirit. Number one, can I hear what happened first? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Number two, having been filled with the Holy Spirit, the next level was that he began to what? To be led by the Holy Spirit. That's what God expects from our lives. That if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, the next thing that should begin to happen more pronouncedly in my life is that I should be led by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is not in my life just to fill my spirit and make me speak in tongues alone. It's in my life to lead me. And that is why I said the mountains and the hills shall break forth before thee into singing when he leads us. I'm sorry, but you know, one of the things that the Lord has dealt with me on recently is the danger of relying on human intellect. Kai, that thing can kill you. I know it's going to work. Since I just gone, from all the indications I'm seeing, things are supposed to work. And boom, you step out and then get to realize midway. If not for the mercy of God, some of us would have even lost our lives, not just the money we lost. Am I connecting with somebody here? Now, can I tell you why? She says that what happens is that we got filled with the Holy Ghost. Man of God, come. We got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the moment we got filled with the Holy Ghost, look at this. We got filled with the Holy Ghost here. But then when we want to make decisions about life, we tell him, sit down. Okay, yeah. Now, so what do I want to do? I think I want to buy a shoe. I want to buy a cloth. I want to marry. I want to, you know. And the Holy Ghost is like, why did the Father send me into your life? No, hey, don't worry. There are serious matters. I'll come and talk to you. Which one is not a serious matter? There's a step between man and death. One wrong step can kill you. I'm making a point here. One wrong step can kill you. One wrong step can mess your life up. There's no simple decision in life. Not a simple one. Now, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, but you know something's that we lead ourselves. You and I know what it has cost us. Oh, come on. Thank you, sir. I love that. I mean, a lot of pretense in the house of God. You know what leading yourself has cost you? Am I correct? If you don't know, I know. And the point is this. As I look back now, I see where I left the Holy Spirit and I took the journey on my own. And you know what the Lord Jesus said to Peter? I said, Peter, he says, look at you. He said, when you were young, you went to wherever you want. He said, but Peter, when you grow old, when you mature in me, he said, another, pastor, come out front now. He said, when you mature, this is what happens at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when we totally surrender to the Holy Spirit, formerly, we went whithersoever we went. We want. I go wherever I want. I think it's good. I should go there. I think I should do this. I mean, we depended on our intellect. We did what we thought was right. Is that okay now? But I said, when you mature, another shall lead you. Meaning I'm following somebody else. And can I say something here? The one I'm following knows the mind of the Father. Number two, he knows the purpose of the Father for my life. Oh, come on, you didn't get what I just said right now. The Holy Spirit, how do I know the Holy Spirit knows the mind of the Father? He was with the Father when it was together that they planned my future. I wish I could pray. I could talk to somebody today here. See, this man here, Deacon Kyle, come. Be with him, sir. Deacon Johnson, join him. Now, listen, this has got the Father, this has got the Son, this has got the Holy Spirit. Oh, let me make this now. You come inside, be the Son. Now, this has got the Son, and this is the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, before I was formed, Jeremiah chapter 1, before I was formed in my mother's belly, before I was born, before I came forth into this world, it says, he knew me. And that's why the book of Romans makes it clear, it said, those that he foreknew. The word for is, before now I knew you. So you see, the problem is that we live our lives as if we only know ourselves. There's someone who knows you before you were formed. Grace, someone knows you before you were formed. Sylvia, someone knows you before you were formed. And that's why, irrespective of what anybody tells you today, somebody look at you and say, look, you're good for nothing. That's his opinion. But you were not there when I was formed. You were not there when I was made. I'm not talking to somebody in the house of God here. So the first thing is this. He said, before I was born, before the spermatozoon of my father came to meet with the eggs of my mother and zygote was formed and produced a baby, he said, listen to me. That was only a formation process. He said, but listen, he knew me before. And watch this. And together, join your hands together, sir. Together in Genesis 1, when they began to contemplate me, it said, let us make some in our image and in our resemblance, and let some have dominion over blah 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 and all of that. Is that okay now? So it was my coming was based on their agreement. The syllabus of my life was endorsed by the three of them. Watch this. So it was the Father who spoke my existence into being. Oh, come on. Am I talking to somebody here? It was the Son who redeemed me back into the path that I've walked away from. But it will be the Spirit that will lead me to the end. Did you get what I just said right now? What happened is this. There is a path. Come on, join yourself back together, sir. There is a path that God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. There's a path that they have already agreed that I will tread in life. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Pablo Shandeya. Please, can bro Richie stand on your feet? Deacon Victor, stand on your feet. My brother on suit, stand on your feet, sir. Now listen, watch this carefully. Now my destination is to get to the end point over there. Now that is my destiny. The word destiny is where you're going to end up. Is that okay? All right, now before I gave my life to Christ, is that okay? Now what happened was that I was on another path. I was going my own way. I was lost. Am I talking to somebody here? I was wandering away in sin. But then God the Father, because listen, let me tell somebody here. The Father is more concerned about my purpose, about his purpose for my life, than my errors. I'm going to say that one more time. The Father, the reason why he made you is more important to him than the errors you are committing. And he's willing to do anything to redeem you back to. Why will he send his Son if purpose is not important? Wherever I'm going to stop tonight, I'll stop. So watch this carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The Father said, Son, look at Sam going astray. Because really I was going astray. I was actually going into handball. I was going to play all manner of things. I was going to dancing. I was going to clubbing and all that. So he has sent his Son for the first time. For the first time, the Trinity were separated because of how important I am to the Trinity. Stop saying I am but a worm. You are not a worm. You are important. Because of you, for the first time, the Trinity broke their unity. Physical unity was disengaged. So what only kept them together was their spiritual unity. Because of you. And he sent the Son to go look for me. And the Son came through his death on Calvary's mountain. The Son shed his own blood that he might redeem me. The word redeem is to buy back. Am I getting somebody here? Now, when the Son redeemed me back, watch this. The Son did not redeem me and then bring me into destiny. He redeemed me back to the path of destiny. That's what Jesus did for you and I. He brought you and I back to. He redeemed us and restored us. He brought us back to position. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So you are back to position. But now to get to your destination, he said, it is necessary that I go. He said, because if it is to guide you, it's not my job. To guide you to where you're going to, it's not my job. He said, one again must leave the Trinity. And that one, just to tell you, Akwan, just to show you how important you are. Just to show you, the Father will not sleep because of you, because he that made Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. How that sometimes we kill ourselves to worry over things that God has not done and God is yet to do. Listen to me. Your Father will never sleep nor slumber until his plans for your life come true. I'm not, yeah, Pastor, but time is passing. That's your own business. In his own time, in its own time, he makes all things. Am I making a point here? Some of you, by the time God is through blessing you, you will lie down on the floor and say, Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I've spoken. If I had known this is what you were planning to do, I would not have complained at all. He's keeping you for a purpose. He's holding it back for a purpose. You didn't get what I just said now. Whatever it is you're believing God for that is yet to come into your hands, he's holding it back for a purpose. And when it is all said and done, you will be amazed. You will be shocked. You will be shocked. You will be supernaturally amazed. Because by the time God steps out to do what only God can do, who would have thought that when Elizabeth was being kept from conceiving, who would have ever thought that it was John that was about to come? Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought, sir, that when Manoah and his wife, the mother of Samson, when they were being stopped from conceiving, who would have ever thought that God was stopping them from conceiving because he wouldn't want them to give birth to a child before the time of the child's assignment comes? So that the child will not be too old for his assignment. If Samson had come 10 years earlier than his assignment, he would have been too old according to the order of the Levitical priesthood. Purpose. You can cry as much as you want, his purpose will stand. He knows your present tears will be wiped away by your eternal joy. The thing that is about to happen will soon wipe away your tears. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has in store for those who love him. Am I talking to someone in the house of God? All things work together for the good of those who love God and walk according to his counsel. In the fullness of time, God will amaze you. When I was trekking in the city of Abuja here, and a pastor looked at me and he said, Pastor Sam, if you really want to be a pastor in this city, you need a car. You need a car. And Pastor Sam, you can see I'm using a Mercedes 230. Where's Mercedes 230 now? The Bible says Abraham rejoiced to see the days of Jesus. Jesus had not yet come, but Abraham had the revelation of the days of Jesus. You know why he called it Jehovah Jireh? The word Jehovah Jireh there is the word the Lord will see to it. Number two, the Lord will provide. So Jehovah Jireh is a double-edged name, meaning that he is the Lord who sees to what is going on in my life, and is the same God who will provide. Am I making a point here? They ask him, they say, Father, you are going to the mountaintop to go and make sacrifice. He said, Father, you have the wood, you have the fire, you have everything. He said, Lord, but where is the lamb? And listen to what he said. He said, the Lord shall provide for himself a lamb. The Lord shall provide for himself a lamb. The real translation here is that the Lord shall provide himself as the lamb. Wait a minute. And how do we now know that it was the Lord that was provided as a lamb? If you find what happens there, you discover that when he was about to kill his son, it was not a lamb that showed up, it was a ram. Come on, you didn't get that. When Abraham said the Lord shall provide for himself a lamb, so many of us thought, hey, and truly, you see, Abraham was called a prophet. Abraham is, in the New Testament, Abraham is called a prophet. So Abraham, that's why the Bible says, Abraham rejoiced to see the days of Jesus. Meaning on that mountain, and don't forget that on Golgotha's mountain, is the same location where Abraham offered the sacrifice. So he said, listen to me, I will offer a ram because a lamb is coming. What came out was a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham said, a lamb is coming. The Lord shall provide himself as a lamb. Is that okay now? And the lamb didn't come until several years later. Behold, the Lamb of God. Do not be moved by the things that you see. So, the Son redeems you back to position. That's what the Bible says in Christ. We are now joint heirs with Christ. But if we must now get to fulfill our purpose in Christ, if we must fulfill the purpose of which we were born, can I have the Holy Spirit now? Child of God, every step of the way. And watch this. The Holy Spirit knows, he has the compass. I'm a geologist, so you know the importance of compass. Sister Taiwo, you know the importance of compass. You know, one of the days we went on field mapping in Ilora, in Oyo State, and along the line, I don't know who actually, I was not leading then. And then one of my mates now said, he understands where we're supposed to. Normally, I'm the captain. But then I just, left this guy. And then he said, he knows the path. And then he said, we are heading this way. Man of God, we started following the direction he was giving us. By the time we got to a point, we discovered here we were before a very mighty ditch. We're lost in the midst of a bush. We're just scared for our life that hope no lion will come and just feed on us here. One of the girls from Delta State, that girl said, hey, God. My man go no say na here I can't die. You know, she started thinking about death. Who wouldn't? And right there, I said, sir, can I please have the compass and can I have the base map? You know base map. I said, can I have the compass and can I get our base map? And I spread the base map on the floor and I put the compass again on the ground. And I said, we are supposed to be heading left and we are heading right. Let's re-navigate our path. Somebody say, renavigate. And some of us tonight need to hear the Holy Spirit say, stop and renavigate. Am I talking to somebody here? Some of us need to hear the Spirit of God saying, stop and renavigate. You are leading yourself into a ditch. You are heading yourself into a ditch. You are leading your life into a ditch. You are leading your career into a ditch. You are leading your marriage into a ditch. It's time to stop and renavigate. Be humble enough to stop. Doesn't matter how far you've gone in the right direction, in the wrong direction. So he has a compass. He knows where I'm going to. Because in the first place, he was part of those who plotted my destination. Watch this. If I follow him, I'm following him in the path of purpose. You see, it doesn't mean that when I'm following purpose, I will not have needs. Come on, you miss that now. Yeah, there will be needs. There will be needs. That's why you have the word vision and provision. The word provision is actually the same word as prevision. So you can either call it prevision or provision. Meaning that before the vision was given, some things were provided for. God help me here today. So watch this now. So long as I'm in the path of God, I mean the purpose of God, I'm following. The Holy Spirit says, Sam, I'd like you to go out and preach today. I'd like you to go out and do this today. And I have some needs. You see, along the path of purpose, destiny has already assigned helpers. Destiny helpers. They are along your path. Usually they will not come and meet you before you start the journey. You miss what I just said now. They won't show up. Wait, you see, that's a danger of saying, Lord, if you want me to do it, provide for me. No. You see, it's obedience before eating the good of the land. So, I walk in the path of the Holy Spirit. He's leading me. And then here am I now. There's something I need to do, I need to get, and I need somebody somewhere to help me. You see, he has kept this man on the way to be my burden bearer. This man may walk with me with the Holy Spirit. So long as, watch this. So long as I'm following the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, having in readiness to deal with all disobedience, when your own obedience is complete. So long as I'm following the Holy Spirit, this man will follow me to help me. Watch this. The moment I stop following the Holy Spirit and I navigate my path out, you see, he is only assigned to follow in the path of the Spirit of God. The moment I move out of the path, I'm on my own. The Bible says that, the one that got into the ship now, on the way to Tarshish. Jonah, the Bible says Jonah went on the way to Tarshish when God said go to Nineveh. And you know what the Bible says there? He paid the fare. Don't miss that. He paid the fare. But ladies and gentlemen, when it was time to go to Nineveh, a fish paid the fare. Are you there? Okay, it was time for Philip to go from Samaria to the wilderness. Supernaturally, God took him there. It was time for him to leave the wilderness and go to Azotus. The Bible says he supernaturally was transported. Am I talking to somebody here? You see, if you follow the leading, he will make others pay the fare. If you lead yourself, you will pay the fare. If you lead yourself into a marriage, you will sponsor that marriage. That's why you say, can you imagine how much I'm spending? Look at what we spent yesterday. Look, you the language of spend. You let yourself into it so you will be paying the fare. But you see, when you walk in the power of the Spirit, don't forget I said there will be needs. And every need that comes up in your life is to bring about the revelation of God's ability. Because if I have this need and the convictor show up, I didn't. And watch this. If you are following the leading of the Spirit of God, you don't go looking for connections. Hey, that man, eh? The man that normally comes to our church, I learned that man is really something. Let me go and join the usher so that I'll be able to greet him. You know, so that I can be able to connect. And you position yourself to, you get hooked up to him, and it's when you get hooked up to him that he stops helping people. You factored him into your life. Hey, the Bible tells me about Jesus. Because he was in the will of God. How do I know? The Bible says, Lo, it is written of me, I've come to do thy will, O God. It is written of me in the volume of the books. The Bible says Jesus carried the cross and was going. He got to a point where the cross became too heavy for him to bear. The Bible says at that moment, when the cross became too heavy, there was a man called Simon. Am I correct, sir? An African. Who was brought on board. You see, that's what's happened when you walk in the purpose of God. You see, when the Lord begins to become overbearing, he begins to send destiny helpers at the right point. But that's obeying the will of God. When he died, even at death, when he died, the Bible said there was no tomb to bury him. Here was a rich man called Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible said the man had dug a tomb for himself. But when he heard Jesus was dead, he made available his own tomb for Jesus. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying now? When you are in the purpose and in the plan of God, following the leadings of the Spirit of God, he puts your burdens on other people's shoulder. Yeah, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. And people you know not will beat their path to your doorstep. That's what happens. That's what happens. I was talking to one of our women yesterday. She came to see me in the office. And we're talking about this issue of learning to depend on God for leadings and for provisions and all of that. And I shared with her the experience God taught me, University of Ibadan. How that son, never go to somebody to ask for anything until I ask you to go and ask for that thing. When I want you to go. Never think because somebody can do something, you just walk up to the person. You'll be shocked. Always learn to delay. Be very sure that this is the will of God. I know some of you have not gone through the school of hard knocks. Some of us have gone through that school. So here am I. I'm working in the will of God and destiny helpers are coming. Now sometimes, these destiny helpers will only walk with you, push you to the next point. Watch this. There's another destiny helper in my life. At this moment in my life, you see, I started a journey. Maybe what I needed was money. You understand? So God brought this person to support me with finances. But now I've been able to build myself to a point whereby I'm beginning to experience some growth. At this point, I'm beginning to discover that although there's money, there's success, but if I don't change my administrative structure, my administrative incapabilities may become my personal limitations. So God brings in Richard into my life. Watch this. Richard is not here to give me money. Every relationship must be understood in the context of divine purpose. Every relationship must be understood in the context of divine purpose. There are people you are going to ask money from who don't have any business giving you money. Their job in your life is to give you wisdom, to give you counsel. When Moses started his life, it was Miriam that was used to preserve him. Is that okay? It was the daughter of Pharaoh that was used to nurture him. Is that okay? But then it was the house of labor, what's his name? Jethro, that was used to retrain him and reposition him. When he came back into his assignment, the Bible said when he was leading them forth, it was Jethro again. Now, what Jethro in his life? Jethro never gave that man money. Jethro always gave him counsel. Moses was almost killing himself and the people because he lacked wisdom. He had training, but he lacked wisdom. And so God put Jethro in his life. And the job of Jethro was to just give him counsel for only one day, Pastor. One day. And the purpose for which Jethro was born was accomplished. Jethro was born to be alive, grow and grow wisdom so that he can give it to Moses. And once given to Moses, his assignment on earth was over. None of his children do we know today. The business of Jethro, nobody knows today. But the counsel of Jethro has outlived Jethro. That was why he was born. Miriam. Nobody knows the son of Miriam today. Nobody knows the husband of Miriam today. The only reason why we know Miriam today is because she preserved, she nurtured Moses. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? That was why she was born. She was born to make sure that Moses doesn't die. The daughter of Pharaoh, her assignment was to make sure that she provides resources for the upkeep, for the training of Moses. We don't know about her son today. She has fulfilled her assignment on earth. Sometimes you are born just to make sure somebody else succeed, and your assignment will be over. Very hard truth. The moment Jethro gave the counsel, watch this, you would have thought that Jethro would continue. That was all for Jethro. His assignment was over. Is that okay? Miriam and the daughter of Pharaoh, her assignment was over. Moses was still following in the purpose of God. Watch this now. At this point, because Moses was moving into another dimension of his life's assignment, following the purpose of God, watch what happened. God gave him a young man called Joshua. Are you getting what I'm saying here? And he kept on going up to the point whereby Moses, because you see, God didn't tell Moses that Moses was going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He told him he was going to bring them out. So by whatever means necessary, Moses' assignment must be over. Whether he got angry or didn't get angry, something will have happened that will have rounded up the assignment of Moses. Because he was not to lead them into that place. The assignment of leading into was in somebody else. And the person was called Joshua. And Joshua was not known until when the assignment of Moses began to round up. Don't show up before your time. Don't show up before your time. Don't show up before your time. And Joshua, understanding the counsel of God, look at this now. Joshua, although Joshua was going to lead them into the promised land, watch what Joshua never did. Joshua never said, well, praise God, I know that God is the one, I'm the one that God is going to use to lead them into the promised land. And so, praise Moses, please, you should know now that I'm supposed to succeed you. So, yeah, so why don't you either die now, just anoint me for everybody. No. Joshua followed the leadings of God until he entered into the purpose of God. Until when God said, Moses, my servant, is now dead. Joshua, arise. Meaning that until that time, Joshua bowed low. Serving. Following the purpose of God. Joshua, come. Joshua kept on going with Moses, following the leadings of God, until it got to the point where Moses was taken out of the scene. Sorry, sir, watch this now. Pastor, sorry. Now watch this. Moses was out of the scene. It was now the Spirit of God leading Joshua. Can I have two of you come around? Now watch this. Moses was out of the scene. It's now the time of Joshua. And again, Joshua must also learn to follow the Spirit just like Moses. How do I know following the Spirit? Because Moses learned to follow the crowd. Moses was that man who said, Lord, if your presence does not go with me, he said, I will not go further. So Moses was that man that learned to follow the Spirit of God. Now here's Joshua also. Joshua, every step of the way, it has to be the Spirit of God instructing him. For him to begin, the Spirit of God told him. For him to conquer the land, the Spirit told him what strategy to use. You see, when you look at the walls of Jericho, it's easier for you to think of getting some machine guns and blow the walls up. But the Holy Spirit said, you will not use physical weapons here. The Spirit of God said, you will not use physical weapons here. You will just do a stupid thing. Just go I'm not sure I would do that if I was there. Just go round wall and so what happened? You know. And you see how that sometimes going around the sixth time may not bring your walls down.
Pastor, this is the sixth time I've been fasting.
How that sometimes is the seventh one with a shout that will bring down the walls.
Lord have mercy.
And so here he kept on following. He has to follow. But watch something that happened. At one time in the life of Joshua, keep on going. Joshua kept on succeeding. And then Jericho walls came down. But we don't be excited. And then now, stop there. Holy Spirit, go one direction. At this point, Joshua now felt, we're going to fight Ai. And he looked at the map. I said, small city. No, I think I know what to do here. Not even the whole army of Israel. Can I get some few tribes here? Now, Joshua relapsed. For the first time in the life of Joshua, and it was going to become a costly mistake in his life. The Holy Spirit went to the right, and Joshua went to the left. And for the first time, the Bible says Israel was defeated before their enemies. It didn't happen in the time of Moses. It happened in the time of Joshua. Are you catching something, child of God, here? How that at every point in our lives, the enemy is always waiting for that moment where we will think we know how to lead ourselves. And then it will lead us to make a mistake that will cost us a lifetime. Am I making a point here? Have you ever made a mistake that will make you forget all your previous success? Nobody's giving me time. People, they've even forgotten to give me time. They're enjoying themselves. I'm closing now. Watch this. Joshua went to fight Ai without seeking the face of God. The Bible said they were defeated. And something happened. Joshua came back to God and began to cry. And God said to him, he said, Joshua, you went on your own, not hearing from me. You thought you could do it. There's somebody in your midst who has taken their course in Achan. You would have thought that was enough to teach Joshua a lesson. Joshua never returned from that error. He wept about it and they renavigated and went back and conquered Ai. Now again, there was success. Success is always going to prove your commitment to the leadings of God. Please be praying for us. It's easier to follow God when you are rising up. Whether in business, in finance, anything, it's easier to follow God. Uzziah kept on seeking God so long as he was small. But the Bible says when he became mighty. If you go through my university notebooks, you always have 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 16 or there, 16, thereabouts, 16, 16. Remember Uzziah. Adversity does not prove it's a man's character, it is prosperity. Don't say if anybody is humble in church, they are broke, he said, you don't have any choice. Does anybody serving God committed? This suicide committed. That they are broke. They have no choice. But let God put some. Let God put something small. I said, let me use this one to test you. And then he said, sorry, Pastor. You understand? Because of my several trips, you know, because of my lot of. And God said, you have put a limit on how far I can take you. Watch this. In conclusion, Joshua, sir. Made another mistake. The Gibeonites came. Gibeonites were very close. And they were part of the people that God said they should wipe out. The Holy Spirit has given him instruction. But when the Gibeonites came to Joshua, they started talking to Joshua. They dressed as people that came from a very far country. Disguised themselves. And the Bible says, and Joshua did not inquire from the Lord. Because it looks simple. How that what looks simple maybe what will lead you into a complex situation in your life. Such a simple thing as letting the Gibeonites stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a problem that continued up to the time of David. The Gibeonites were the ones that continued, that Saul had to now tamper with them and God had to bring famine in the days of David. These were people that should have been wiped out. But somebody didn't listen to God and entered into covenant with them. Please, I want to emphasize the word covenant. Covenant. Partnership. Agreement. Without seeking the face of God, they entered into agreement with the Gibeonites. It was after they have entered into the agreement, the covenant, And one thing you must never forget is that such covenants are irrevocable because they are the covenant of salt. They are like marriage today. And some of us, if the truth were to be told, as many couples, many have entered into irreversible covenants with the Gibeonites, only to wake up and realize it was a Gibeonite covenant I entered into. But at this point, if you touch the Gibeonites, God will punish you because he respects covenants. The time is up. Thank you very much, sir. God bless you, sirs. I'm sure you now know that the Holy Spirit is beyond just you speaking in tongues. See, from start to finish, you need him all the way in your life. On Monday morning, you need him to make some decisions in the office. On Saturday evening, when you're having some debates in the family, you need the Holy Spirit to help you make the right decision in the family. I'll continue this teaching next week because I've just touched on one of the benefits of the Holy Spirit. Our time is fast spent. I'm sure you've been blessed today. This evening, as you leave this place, you have a choice to make. And the choice is to either let him be right in your front or you be right in his front. I can guarantee you one thing. If you choose to be in his front, he will not follow you. That's the point. The Holy Spirit does not follow you. He will wait for you. When you're through leading yourself, you find a way back to him. This morning or this evening, I'd like us to rise to our feet and ask the Holy Spirit to take his proper place in our lives. Until he takes his place in your life, you can't take your place. Somebody needs to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for leading myself. I'm sorry for guiding myself. You only have about 60 seconds to pray, please. Just do that very quickly. Say, Lord, guide me. Close your eyes and forget about everybody. It affects all of us. Pastor, no pastor.